At first, it was just something fun to do, and then it became tradition. When my husband, Erez, and this morning you met him as my very good friend, and I studied in Israel during our third year of rabbinical school, we visited Old Jaffa countless times. And although this area is filled with many religious, touristy, Zionist sites, we found ourselves returning over and over again to the Old Jaffa Wishing Bridge. Now, the bridge isn't anything special, and if you don't see the sign that actually says, "This is the Old Jaffa Wishing Bridge," you might miss the nuances altogether. You see, you're instructed to touch your zodiac sign, stare out into the sea, and make a wish. And although we don't really believe in the silly customs, Erez and I would return time and time again to that bridge, staring out into the depths of the water, counting to three, and making a wish. In almost every city, every county, every region in the world, there is some kind of place where people go to make wishes. How many people have been to the Trevi Fountain in Rome? We know it's a myth, but it's held true that if you drink a glass of water from that particular fountain, it was said to ensure good fortune or luck. And as you know, the people who have visited this particular fountain, the custom is as follows. No matter your religion or ethnicity or gender, when you're standing at the fountain, what are you supposed to do? Turn around, throw a coin over your left shoulder, and hopefully your coin lands right in the middle of the fountain. Myth or silly story, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Because we all understand that it's wishing. It's something we've all grown up with. Wishing before blowing out the candles on our birthday, wishing when we arrive at a particular well, or probably most known, wishing upon a star. What makes us toss logic out of the window when it comes to making a wish? Listen to the lyrics of one of our favorite songs, "When You Wish Upon a Star." I promise I won't sing. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. And the last lyric, like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. Wishing is easy. We look at a star and we make a wish. We throw a coin into a fountain, we make a wish. Easy tasks, simple instructions, hopefully wish fulfilled. And yet we all know that a life of wishing, it's simply not reality. I think the reason why we each love making wishes is because we are told exactly what to look at, precisely what to throw, and approximately when to wish, so that if everything is aligned at precisely the exact moment that's necessary, our heart's desires will be fulfilled. And then, of course, we're told that year, if your wish doesn't come true, don't worry. You always have a second chance to wish again. But of course, it's at that moment when we face the impending question. What happens if you can't find the bridge? What happens if that star's not in position? What happens if it's not our birthday and the candles aren't burning? What happens if there's no wishing well? What is it in this world that will keep our faith alive. When we feel shaky, when we have doubts, when we feel discouraged, as we all do, what keeps us rooted and connected to our convictions? What keeps us connected to God? The answer isn't easy. Because as Jews, we are taught that we should not have to go to a particular place to express what it is that sits within our hearts. Rather, we are told that we have the hope of keeping our faith vibrant and alive and bright, no matter the place, no matter the time or the situation. In other words, instead of going to that bridge or that wishing well in order to feel something, something that seems like God's presence, we should be trying to purposefully walking through life, understanding that every ordinary spot has the potential for holiness, and that if we work hard enough, we can feel God's presence in the places that we least expect. As we read the Torah this morning, I think we read what might seem like a particularly mundane scene. Jacob travels from Beersheba to Haran, and he picks a place to sleep for the night. And if you look at the Torah portion, the verses actually forget a name. We're not told the name of this place at all. We're not even told any noteworthy characteristics. And yet, in this run-of-the-mill area, Jacob takes a rock and he decides to spend the night. And he dreams a dream in which he is declared to be God's blessing. And what does Jacob say when he wakes up from this ordinary spot, this ordinary place, this place that no one expected to be holy? He says the following: Achen yesh Adonai b'makom hazeh ve'anochi lo yadati. Surely God was in this place and I did not know. This place that I thought was a regular place, well, this place is none other than a house of God. What was it that made this place holy? What warranted Jacob dreaming that he was a blessing of God? What transformed Jacob from an ordinary human being to a patriarch of our people? As Adam explained, this man who once thought that he had no vision, transforming into a leader of our people. It wasn't the ground. It certainly wasn't the scenery. It wasn't even the time of night. Rather, Jacob calls this ordinary place a place of God, a house of God, because he chooses. He decides. He tries to feel God's presence. Although frightened in his journey, although filled with doubt and worry about what's to come, Jacob makes the choice to connect with God. Meaning, in whichever setting we find ourselves, be it shul on Shabbat morning, be it at a hospital visiting a loved one, even in the ordinary places like the grocery line or the 405, we cannot feel God's presence unless we choose to allow ourselves to be open to a moment of connection. You see, we make a wishing well feel special and magical because we have trained ourselves to feel that way. And so this morning I asked the question, how do we train ourselves to feel God's presence? How do we prepare ourselves so that every time we step out of our doorway, each and every morning, we are open to the possibility of sensing godliness. A few weeks ago, Rabbi Wolpe came to speak to our David and Angela Nazarian Youth Fellows, and he presented a public speaking seminar. And one of our fellows asked the question to Rabbi Wolpe, "Do you ever run out of things to speak about?" And Rabbi Wolpe responded, "Rabbis train themselves to always be open and ready for a sermon. Every story, every experience, every piece of art, every movie or book or human interaction, well, that's all sermonic material." And after he said that, I couldn't help but thinking that feeling God's presence in the world should follow a similar kind of logic. If we don't have the wishing well in front of us, if we don't have something that allows us to feel that spiritual movement, when we feel our lowest, when we want to connect to something and when we want to connect to God, we have to start training ourselves. We have to start exercising and start ritualizing our days so that God becomes part of the picture when we least thought possible. You see, Jacob's declaration is our gift. We must take pauses throughout our day, no matter the time and no matter the place, and we should say to ourselves, "God was in this place and I did not know." We should look at the colors of the changing leaves that clutter our driveways. We should take time to look at the family members and friends that sit by our side. We should take the time when a coworker breaks down at work because of a distressing situation, and we should pause. We should remind ourselves to say, "God is in this moment. God is in this person. God is in this place, and I did not know." We feel God's presence when we train ourselves to let God in. I don't know if I wish upon a star if all my dreams will come true. It doesn't mean that I plan on stopping my wishing. But I do know that if we start training ourselves to say and realize that God is in this place and I did not know, whether we are in the depths of our depression, whether we are in the throes of our joy, no matter the time, no matter the place, our faith will see us through. Shabbat Shalom.